Hello, and welcome to this very special episode of Single Scoops. I'm JR, and I'm joined by my fellow Sunday Sumbays, Oldar.
Howdy.
Saren.
Hi.
And Min.
Hi.
Today, we're going to talk about our favorite ice cream flavors. We know our audience has been waiting for this discussion for a long time, so let's dig in. I'll start us off. So when it comes to ice cream, I have a lot of likes, but there's typically at least one main thing that has to be present, and that is chocolate and a lot of it, whether that be the base ice cream flavor or chocolate add-ins like brownies or fudge, or there's like a few ice creams that has chocolate that hardens, and so you have essentially like a candy bar inside of the ice cream. Love that. But I actually struggled quite a bit in picking my favorite, but that's because I was thinking in terms of like gallons or quarts. So Moose Tracks came to mind, Neapolitan, Butter Pecan, which is an outlier since that is mainly a nut and vanilla ice cream. But that's besides the point. I've also been really into this black tea boba ice cream. You can get it at Trader Joe's, which I know is not available to everyone present here. But
no.
I highly recommend if you are near one. Really delicious. But again, the point of this is not for me to list every single ice cream I've ever eaten and loved. So I started to think of ice cream more broadly and remembered my favorite kind. Chocolate eclair ice cream bars.
What?
Which ironically cannot be scooped. It is a bar, so you eat it on a stick. But many brands sell this. Good Humor, Blue Ribbon, Dean's, most brands have some version of this ice cream. And I can't say that I've had all these brands, so maybe some are better than others. Right now, I believe Blue Ribbon is the one that I've had the most of, but they all contain the same elements. The bar comes in layers. There's a chocolate ice cream center, which is then covered in vanilla ice cream. And then the outside is covered in what they call, quote unquote, cake bits, which are chocolate and vanilla, but really it has more of like a cookie bite to it, and I think that's partially because it's frozen.
Huh.
Yeah. Part of the reason I like this one so much, besides the chocolate, is because it has that added texture from the coating around it, and it just all comes together in what I believe is the perfect bite of ice cream. It's very satisfying. There is another version of this, the strawberry shortcake, which has strawberry ice cream in the center, vanilla, then strawberry shortcake bits around it. And I've never actually tried that one, but I've heard it's good. So there is another version of this that exists out there. I also feel like I should mention that it doesn't taste like an actual eclair. So eclair is a puff pastry. Sometimes it has custard in the middle. Sometimes it has whipped cream in the middle. And then it has a chocolate ganache on top. And that actually is one of my favorite desserts in general. But I'd say that this is, like the coating says, much more adjacent to a cake than a puffed pastry. So why it's called chocolate eclair, I'm guessing because of like the layers and like it kind of evokes that idea, but it doesn't taste like an eclair.
What a ripoff.
I don't even know what an eclair exactly is.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Even the JR is like explaining what it's like, I will have nothing to compare with, like, in my...
Well, okay, have you had a cream puff?
No. That's the
really?
Thing. Like, even if, like, these kind of...
You are
because,
all bakers.
Like, a lot of the desserts, I mean, I know what, for example, I know what profiteroles are. That's basically, like, what the Australians call a shoe. Like, I know
yes,
what profiteroles
it's a shoe pastry.
Are. I know what... Yeah, and stuff like that. But, like, when I just hear some of the dessert names, like... I won't know what it exactly is.
I gotcha, yes. Yes, it is a choux pastry. Typically, cream puffs are like circular and kind of small. Eclairs, it looks kind of like a donut,
yeah, okay.
I guess. Like one of those Long Johns. It looks similar long
johns?
To that. A Long John. Have you never had a Long John? Is that a Midwest? Is that
don't
a Midwest
Don't you mean
Midwest
a chocolate name? Bar? Don't you mean a bar?
No, they're called Long Johns
in
the Midwest.
The Long Johns, Long John, okay, that's like... Like, yeah, that's a more easy description for me. Okay, for any of you guys who are not familiar, I used to live in Cook County, Illinois for like 2.5 years. So I am aware of some of the Midwestern terms. But now chocolate bar, like when I hear that, I would usually think of something like, for example, a Kit Kat.
Yeah, they don't call them chocolate bars in the Midwest. I know that that is something that I have heard that word, but that's not what we call them out here.
You know what? Like, I was talking to, like, another group of international friends once, and they didn't understand what a cash machine was.
Like an ATM?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, exactly. No one else understood what I meant. America is an international country by itself.
Yes, yes. Words across the states are different by region, for sure. That's funny. Yeah. That being said, again, it does not actually taste like a puff pastry. But if you do come across a chocolate eclair ice cream bar, I highly recommend giving it a shot if any parts of the whole appeals to you. It is sold in boxes. You can get, like, I don't know, 8 in a box. But you can also typically find it sold individually in, like, an ice cream chest at, like, a gas station or arcades sometimes have those ice cream chests where you, like, slide the top off and there's a bunch of different flavors. I love it. I really want one right now, and hopefully I can get one soon. So, with my pick out of the way, Oldar, please let us know what your favorite ice cream is.
As for me, my favorite is green tea ice cream. Anyone who knows me is well aware of how much I hate tea, especially green and jasmine, due to certain experiences. But green tea in ice cream form is an exception. I first experienced the joy of green tea ice cream in San Francisco back in 2008. At the time, I thought it was good because I got it at a restaurant and I assumed that they made it on site just like the rest of their desserts. But every time I've had it since from different sources, it has proved to me that it's just that good. Originally, I was a fan of ice creams that had bits in them such as Rocky Road, strawberry, and bubblegum, but this ice cream doesn't need it. It can be served with chocolate or mochi, but that's not necessary. It's the one ice cream I like that I enjoy plain. It's creamy and rich, its flavor is sweet, but not plain or sugary like vanilla. The light green coloring is eye-catching when in the midst of other flavors. I think I also might like it because I don't get to have it often. It's not typically stocked in grocery stores or ice cream shops where I live. If a restaurant offers it, it usually ends up being sold out long before I get some. When I was in Korea, it was available in little 14-ounce containers at the grocery store, but I also found it at various convenience stores as small bars with various chocolate coatings. Regardless of what form it comes in, I'm a fan and have yet to get bored of it. As I was writing my part of the script, I was enjoying a bowl of this that I found by chance at Target. So if you haven't had the chance to try it yet, I highly recommend it because it's simple but good.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's mild. I'd say it's vanilla adjacent in terms of flavor because a lot of ice cream can get overly sweet, but I find that green tea ice cream tends to be a lot more mild in that regard.
It's got a balance.
More subtle, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I've worked at, like, a few, like, Asian restaurants before, and, like, I didn't really expect to see how popular that flavor is, because, like, here in Korea, I mean, it's not unpopular, but it does have, like, this sort of connotation to old people. So, like, when when someone has it. Yeah, because it is definitely, like, the more traditional elements when it comes to flavors.
Huh. That's so funny.
Yeah, green tea powder, matcha, or what the Japanese call matcha. We here in Korea, we call it malcha because that's how we pronounce the hanja. So matcha ice cream or stuff like red bean paste, black sesame. Yes, we have black sesame ice cream. Or sometimes even injermi is considered like more of an old person's palate. We would call it like a 할머니 맛, which means like we have the palates of a granny.
That's so cute.
But yeah. I actually like some of the flavors, but when I pick some of those flavors, like even my friends will tease me for it. But who cares? Mm. It's good.
Since you mentioned red bean ice cream, I'm going to go on the shortest of tangents. For my 18th birthday, my parents took me to a Korean restaurant, and they found out that it was my birthday dinner, and they were so sweet. They came out and brought green tea ice cream and red bean ice cream. And I
really
knew that red bean paste, I knew that red bean paste was like a thing in bungeopang, like the fish pastry. Yeah. But I had never heard of it in ice cream. And so we were eating it and we were like, this is delicious. We also have no idea what we are eating. And they came and they explained to us that it was red bean paste. And we were like, oh, that is delightful. We are enjoying this immensely.
Oh.
Yeah. Shout out Towa, Arlington Heights, Illinois.
Senin, give us the scoop on your favorite.
Thank you, Oldar. So when I was first presented with this topic, I was severely, and I do mean severely, torn by the numerous options to introduce. Well, Korea is not really a country where you would expect like some sort of like Western concept of dessert to be so common in. But even so, I have so many types of ice cream to choose from. Bingsu is one of the more actually traditional, classic type of Korean quote-unquote ice cream that you could think of. A lot of you guys might be familiar with the concept of bingsu, which is like shaved ice, but bingsu has also evolved bit by bit over the decades. Like, for example, it was first started getting served in like the royal courts of Joseon Dynasty and stuff. It would have been like just ice and maybe like topped with like some chilled fruit or edible flowers. But then like when Pop Bingsu joined the chat, they would probably serve it with a bit of red bean or red bean stewed in some kind of sweetener or actual red bean paste. And I presume it could be a Japanese influence because like red bean desserts are typically viewed as like a more of a Japanese thing, but I'm not sure because I haven't really been able to find a source that says it was a Japanese influence. Like, maybe it could have been also a popular thing in Korea, but also maybe not.
Just to be a little self-referential, if you look at season one, our cover art, there is a bowl of bingsu on it.
Yep, that kind of bingsu is more modern. It will contain more dairy ingredients. For those who don't know, milk and dairy is not a traditional ingredient in traditional Korean cooking because we did not have dairy cows at all. So, like, in modern bingsu, you will typically see some sort of milky ice instead of just regular or frozen water ice. And it could be topped with, like, sweetened condensed milk or even, like, blocks of cream cheese and stuff like that.
Interesting.
I personally prefer bingsu that's been topped with fruit or like even chocolate flavored ones. These days, you'll get like the more Western fruits or the foreign fruits, such as mango, blueberry, like melon in the summer, stuff like that. But if you go to the more classic type of bingsu, which was more popular in the tea houses from the 70s and 80s, the fruit you'll typically find would be stuff like apples, persimmons, or even like kiwi or banana for Western fruit, because those were also like very rare, imported, luxurious type of fruit like back then. Like my mom never had a banana until like she was 12 or something when one of her rich classmates brought one to school. And that was probably in the late 70s. So you can tell how different what Korean people used to eat compared to what you guys in the States or like Canada, Norway, well, in Europe, etc. would have eaten. So anyway, I had such a long list to consider, but ultimately, I chose two of my most favorite childhood classics. Ironically enough, neither of them are like the more traditional stuff like bingsu would be. They're both like more Western type ice cream. So the first type is called Burabukon in Korea, or Bravo Cone in English. And it was created by Hete in 1971. It is a no-fuss ice cream cone consisting of a thin wafer cone filled with vanilla ice cream, and then it's topped with a chocolate drizzle. It's an actual chocolate, not syrup, by the way, and crushed peanuts. So if you have a nut allergy, I'm sorry, this ice cream would not be for you. But that combo is so good. There is also a little bit of solid chocolate at the bottom pointy part of the cone to prevent the melted ice cream from spilling out. Some people actually like love this ice cream just for that solid chocolate part only. It's kind of funny. The standard flavor, I don't know why, but it's called white vanilla. So the white vanilla is flavored with actual vanilla bean. If you keep eating the ice cream part, you will actually see the specks downward. Although, you can also find a huge variety of flavors that come and go often. Currently, the available flavors in Korea include, but are not limited to, pistachio, strawberry, milk, which literally means milk flavor, no vanilla at all, There's chocolate chunk, there's soft cone, soft cacao, mugwort, and red bean. Both flavors are very grandma flavors in Korea, by the way. And even mint chocolate. So when it comes to flavors, mint chocolate is one of my most favorite flavors. If I find a mint chocolate Bravo cone, that's all I'm going to buy. But I also like the vanilla and the chocolate chunk flavors.
I have a question. Liking mint flavored ice cream is controversial in the States. Either you love it or you hate it.
It's very controversial here in Korea as well.
Either you love it or you hate it.
Yep.
I think it's a thing everywhere. That's so funny. Yeah.
It's universal.
Yeah.
People get so mad over
It's actually kind of funny. Like in my family too, I'm the only person in my family who likes mint chocolate.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Whereas most of my family likes it.
So whenever it's like ice cream day and we decide to buy some ice cream, I always include a mint chocolate ice cream just so that no one else can touch it.
Oh.
Because I know for sure that all the other flavors are something what my parents could probably like find and just dig in without considering anything else. Because my other favorite flavors are very common, no fuss type flavors that anyone could enjoy. So if I buy something mint chocolate, boom, I get to keep it.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Now you got me thinking about that. Most of my family likes mint, so that wouldn't work. But I'm sure there's some ice cream that some people don't like. I just have to think about it.
Okay, so back to the script. So the second ice cream I would like to introduce is Bunga Samankul. And originally, Bingure created a regular samankul in 1976 in the form of a square wafer sandwich filled with vanilla ice cream and either red bean paste or some sort of crunchy chocolate. And the name samankul was intended to mean sago mankul, which means cheap and plentiful or abundant in Korean. And this was in reference to its affordable price and generous size. And then, taking inspiration from the popular winter snack, bungeoppang. Yep, this is where the bungeoppang comes in. And for those who are not familiar with bungeoppang, it literally translates to crucian carp bread in Korean. So it doesn't contain any fish, by the way. It's just that the bread is shaped like a carp. Some of you might also know it by its Japanese name, taiyaki. In Korean, we call it bungeoppang. And it's usually, like, the most traditional ones will consist of a sweet red bean paste filling. But if you, like, buy it from, like, the street stalls, like, in Korea, they'll usually ask you, like, which you prefer. So we will usually be asked, okay, do you want shoe cream or red bean? So when we Koreans refer to shoe cream, it can either mean two things. One is like a shoe puff or a cream puff or profiterole if you're from the Commonwealth. But could also mean custard. So there's custard bungeoppang and red bean bungeoppang. I always go for the custard one because honestly, like, it's going to be another controversial take, but I don't like red bean desserts at all.
Ooh.
Like, the reason is my mom has been making everything, like, homemade since I was little. And when she made red bean paste, it would usually be, like, just chunky with all the bean skins in. And she would usually make it a lot less sweet than the commercial ones. When I eat it, sometimes it could be really, like, thick. Sometimes it could be a bit drier than the red bean paste you would usually have. And it's not as sweet. So I didn't really enjoy it growing up. But this Bunga Samankul ice cream is one of the few exceptions where it actually works. Because bungeo samankul is basically like made into a fish-shaped wafer instead of a square. And then they made the paste a lot thinner, so it's almost like a syrup. So when you take a bite into it, the wafer kind of holds it all together. And then the red bean paste adds a little bit of like bolder sweetness in contrast to the vanilla. It was like probably one of the few desserts where it has actually convinced me that red bean can taste good. So bungeo samankul also comes in a few different versions. Currently, the most common flavor, the standard flavor, will contain tiny pieces of chapsaetteok in the filling. Chapsaetteok is glutinous rice cakes. Some of you may know it as mochi, but in Korean, chapsaetteok can refer to any type of rice cake that is made from glutinous rice. So these rice cake pieces are not going to be chewy at all. It's very dense because the ice cream is frozen and then the rice cake gets frozen as well. But then there is another type, like another version that contains chocolate ice cream instead of vanilla. There's even a walnut version, very similar to like yet another classic ice cream flavor, Hotomaru. So the walnut version tastes a little bit similar to Hold Metal, and in the ice cream actually tastes like walnuts. So it's not going to be like an overly sweet type of ice cream like you would expect. Like if you go to a regular dessert shop, it's going to be a lot more subtle, and you'll taste something different from the usual vanilla, chocolate, strawberry flavors like you would get when you get ice cream.
Mm.
Also, the wafer is on the soft side, so it's not like an ice cream cone where you like you can just crunch into the wafer. And the red bean is gonna be just whole red bean that's been cooked into the syrup. So the red bean paste will also provide a little bit of texture, which I did not enjoy at first, but came to love later on. And both ice cream brands, Burabukon and Pungasamanko, are available in most supermarkets, convenience stores, etc. in Korea. Like right now in my neighborhood in Seoul, there is a tiny ice cream shop where one of those stores where they just have like CCTVs and no one standing behind the countertop, just CCTVs, and you pay everything through the machine. And those two flavors are always included in the array of ice creams they're offering. So I can literally get them anytime when I want them. But I know that neither of those two ice creams are a very common thing like outside Korea. So if any of you guys live outside Korea and happen to find a Burabukon or a Pungasamanko in your local stores, maybe Asian stores, go ahead and try it out because I'm a picky eater and I still love them. I'm pretty sure you will enjoy them too. Do you guys have any questions regarding Korean ice cream? Like, it doesn't have to be like either of the flavors I introduced.
I just eat them. I had a lot of ice cream when I was in Korea and I had a great time. And then also there's this one really nice bingsu place over, I think it was on Triple Street, where they had like these really beautiful portions. Like the store was just gorgeous. So it's not like your usual ice cream store. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, bingsu is definitely common here, like because it is one of the most traditional, as I said. I think like every international friend I've met here in Korea wanted to go to Harbin when they were here for a trip. Everyone, even if it's not summer. Like, I know that, like, what ice creams that are common here will not be as common, like, internationally and vice versa. Like, for example, Rock and Roll is one of the few ice cream flavors I actually miss since I came to Korea. Even our Baskin Robbins don't have Rocky Road. Really? I mean, they did try to... Yeah, they actually tried to include it in one of the newer flavors that just stay like in the menu for a month and then it left.
To be fair, though, y'all's 31 flavors, Baskin Robbins has some wild flavors.
True.
Yeah, there's some things I'm like, who would like this?
Yeah, because some of the flavors, they can get more on the artificial flavor side. Like, for example, if we have banana ice cream, it will be flavored with banana flavoring rather than actual bananas. So even for Baskin Robbins, like, I don't eat it anymore because boycott, my personal ethics, will not be letting me, like, eat Baskin. Anyway, so some of the more common and popular flavors here, they're not going to be as, like, bold or as sweet as... For example, American ice cream, they'll be more on the subtle side. And I think the more quirky flavors I've ever gotten in Baskin would be Shooting Star.
Okay.
Yeah, Shooting Star. I know that one. I don't know if you guys have it, but it has those popping bits inside. I don't know what it's exactly called in English, but
it's not the pop things rocks. That
like you just bite into it and it's like it just in your mouth.
Pop rocks?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. That was back in the day, people were like, don't eat those with Coke. That's since, like, it's morphed to different things nowadays. It used to be, like, you'll blow up your stomach if you have them together.
Exactly! Okay, so last but not least, Min, what are your favorite ice cream flavors?
So, as a Norwegian, there is many ice cream choices I could have picked. From popsicles with licorice or goat cheese or vanilla or black currants. There's a lot of different things to choose from, but I had to go with one of the classic, the iconic ice creams that you find here. So let me paint you a little word picture here. You're a kid in elementary school. The sun is beating down on you in the middle of May. You're dressed up in your finest clothes. It's May 17th, to be exact. Norway's Constitutional Day. If you're lucky, you're wearing like a suit or a pretty dress, but if you're a little bit more traditional, you're wearing slightly itchy woolen clothes with a lot of jewels, and really old-fashioned dress shoes that are super uncomfortable and that I'm very thankful for not having to wear as a kid, because I was a little shit. Anyway, you just finished marching in the children's parade with your classmates up to your school. You hovered down some hot dogs, probably more than you should have ate. You managed to win the sack race, or the potato race, or the stilt race. Any of the race, you won, and you defeated a whole gaggle of other children. But the sun is not relenting, and the asphalt is cooking you from below. Your parents finally arrive with relief. In your hand, you find a waffle cone filled with cold, creamy vanilla that cools you simply by looking at it, and the vanilla is bedazzled like royal jewelry with strawberry jam swirling to the center of the cone. Or maybe chocolate and hazelnuts, depending on what you enjoy more, but the strawberry one is the OG. The tangy sweetness of the strawberry jam clears your head while the vanilla ice cream cools your soul. And this is Kronis. The crown ice. It's very hard mixing this into English, okay? What I just described to you is an experience pretty much any child has had during the 17th of May, and might be also why a lot you will see a lot of kids just rubbing ice cream all over their faces during the 17th of May festivities. It's intense.
That was beautiful.
For some not fully needed, but slightly interesting Constitutional Day context. In the country, it is known as, like, the Children's Day, because it's, like, the parades usually is from a location to local school, and then at said local school, there is events and activities and speeches and a lot of stuff. Football matches was one of the things we had. Tricycles. And yeah, children eat a lot. It is their day to be a child and have fun in the basking sun, or snow, or rain, but sometimes it's sunny, and that's nice. Anyway, the ice cream that I wanted to talk about is Kroneis, which translates into crown ice cream, which would probably be more similar to, like, penny ice cream, I guess, because the Norwegian currency is called kroner, or crowns, so the name is basically one currency ice cream.
Oh, so it's a very cheap, affordable type of ice cream, I guess, like it's supposed to imply?
Kind of?
Or more, like, universal?
Yes. I will go into the name a little bit, because many people in Norway think that the name of the ice cream came from the price of the ice cream that the price used to be back when it originally launched. But supposedly, that's not the backstory of the name.
Twist.
Back in 1953, this ice cream made its debut as Diplomat, which is diplomat. Very, very good language here. The reason for this more, like, regal name was because the brand this ice cream was launched under is called Slottsis, basically meaning castle ice cream. The brand was supposed to make the consumers feel like it was a more luxurious product because the branding was very royal inspired with, like, crowns and jewelry and stuff like that. So it was supposed to be a high-end thing. Supposedly at launch, the ice cream cost 75 euro, or about, like, 75 cents, because I think a US dollar is worth a lot more than a Norwegian crown, but, like, euro is the smaller part of, like, a dollar, so I think it would be a cent, I guess. I don't know. Internal conversion rates is not something I put time into figuring out. Anyway, the manufacturing, like the producer of said ice cream was asked by an event, like organization for an event, to make some ice creams of this particular Diplomat ice cream for their event to be sold, and the manufacturer was like, this is going to be a bit tricky. The people that are going to be selling this is going to be haggled with so much change. So let's just make like a slightly bigger version of the ice cream and just sell it for 1 crown instead of 75 euro or 75 cents. So they did. And then the event got canceled. And now the ice cream manufacturer was just like, oh no, we have so much ice cream and it's gonna melt.
Oh no.
That's just money down the drain. They scrambled and set up a tiny shop and started just selling the ice cream to the locals. Because that was a lot easier in the 50s, I guess.
Yeah, to do that also smart. Today.
And the people that bought the ice cream, then called the Diplomaten, gave it the nickname Kronesis. And then eventually, they just decided to change the name officially from Diplomaten to Kronesis, or Kronis. And the ice cream actually did cost 1 krona from 1955 to 1970. It does not cost that today. I read an article about this that was from 2013, and at that point it cost 20 crowns. And today it's about 30 crowns, so inflation is fun. It's still, it's right under $3 American currently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, inflation is such a pain in the neck because, like, even here in Korea, like, the ice creams are not only getting expensive, but their sizes are also getting smaller.
Yeah, Kronis. It is very good. It's basically just like an ice cream cone. The iconic one is the vanilla ice cream and strawberry jam version. And it actually kind of resembles, like the top part does kind of resemble a crown, which is interesting. Looks cute. Also, supposedly, ice cream has only been in my country for about 100 years.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
our
surprising.
Oldest ice cream company, who, if I remember the lore correctly, they went to Chicago, because a lot of Norwegians went to the Americas about 100 years ago. No, mostly to just get out of poverty, because poverty is fun. They went to Chicago, figured out that ice cream was a thing, and was like, let's bring that home. Went back to Norway and funded the currently oldest running ice cream franchise. No, not franchise. Maker thing. English is hard. Yes.
There we go.
That's actually interesting because I just assume that since you guys eat a lot of dairy, I just suppose that ice cream would also be pretty common.
Yeah, we got a lot of cheese.
That brings me to your goat cheese ice cream. Have you had it? What do you think of it? Please explain.
I have not had specifically goat cheese ice cream. I've had brown cheese ice cream, which brown cheese isn't technically
cheese.
Is that
like more savory? Is it more like a savory subtle flavor? Like here in Korea, they also have like cheese ice cream, which is like sometimes
so
it could be like cream cheese, but sometimes it could be actually like savory cheese. So
cream cheese makes some sense.
Yeah, because you could probably imagine it like with like a cheesecake flavor, but like, the salty cheese is usually what throws foreigners off when they try it in Korea.
Yeah, understandable.
I'm more surprised by the licorice flavor because licorice is not a popular flavor here in Korea.
Oh, you gotta go to Scandinavia. There is licorice everywhere.
Well, it's because, traditionally speaking, licorice was the flavor they added to, like, traditional medicine.
Yeah.
To dull down the bitter flavors. So when we think of licorice in a dessert, we just go, yeah, because
medicine.
We associate with medicine, yeah.
Yeah, it does have a very medicinal flavor. One of the most, like, I don't think it came out this year. Norway, we love our, like, tiny ice creams, like ice cream on a stick and that kind of stuff. Freaking love them. Have a lot of them. But one that launched recently is a vanilla ice cream covered in a licorice coating, which is then covered in hokkipulver, which is powdered salt and licorice.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
The only time you'll find salt in ice cream in the States is like salted caramel.
No, but if it's like with like a salted caramel or something like that, maybe it will make sense because I do know that some of the more fancy ice cream shops here in Korea, they also have like salt ice cream, which is just like more of a subtle milk flavor. No vanilla, no anything with just like a hint of salt. And I heard it's good.
It's not as pleasant. Salted caramel is more pleasant, I would say, than salted licorices.
So interesting.
In the realm of licorice, we do have a lot of different varieties, and the more like high-class ones are also a lot easier to get into, because currently there's been a trend of licorice balls that are like a ball of either chocolate or, my favorite ones, are raspberry. I don't know what they're made of. It's not chocolate, but raspberry goodness, and then filled with a piece of licorice inside. It's delicious. It makes it so much easier to eat licorice.
Nice. Maybe it will make me converted.
Yeah. Anyway, before I go, I also want to shout out Krul Nielsen's tiny little brother, Boltis. May you rest in peace. You were loved. It got discontinued in 2022. Yes, I know there's still variations of it out there, but the original one, the good one, got discontinued. Mm. So we're saying that it's dead.
Oh, no.
It's a boat ice cream. It literally means boat ice cream. It's a little boat filled
That's
with
so cute.
Basically the same stuff as Krulnis, with like the vanilla and the strawberry with like a little chocolate shell on top. It was so good. That was my childhood.
Thank you for joining us at this little ice cream party, everyone. Hopefully one day we can turn this digital one to a physical one. So go get yourself some ice cream.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, then please make sure to rate, subscribe, follow, and tell your friends about us. If you want to interact with us or just see more of our content, then you can follow us on Twitter at @kpopsunbaes or on our other social media platforms, which will be in the description. More single scoops are coming your way soon. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
다음에 봐요.
안녕.